This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Hi, I'm Timothy Zahn, creator of Grand Admiral Thrawn, and you're listening to Conversations Podcast. Good for you.
Conversations, you're the one. You make Star Wars lots of fun.
Yeah, you do.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you. Sing it, Bubby.
Zoobie-doobie-doo.
Yeah, Bub.
Pat and Chavel, you're so grand. Never afraid to lend a helping hand.
That's true.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with.
Absolutely be strong with.
I see what you did.
Oh,
oh.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you.
Hello and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and this is episode 124. Operation Cinder is to begin at once. Resistance, rebellion, defiance. These are concepts that cannot be allowed to persist. You are but one of many tools by which these ideas shall be burned away.
Nice, literally quoting Emperor Palpatine.
Yes.
Yes. For Operation Cinder. And that's quite the loaded statement, by the way. And that's what kicked off this whole entire episode. And what better way to delve into such a complex story of Operation Cinder than right. inviting one of the most knowledgeable people that we know, brother and
Marcianra.
Rob
LeBarry.
Happy to be here with my great friends and brothers, talking a little bit of Operation Cinder, which, again, what a great storyline to come out of the video games. Enjoyed the storyline immensely, and obviously, as we found out later on, it feeds into the sequel trilogy.
Yes, very much so.
I'm surprised he mentioned it.
He did, and he didn't choke, and he didn't
He drank heavily first, but yeah. So Operation Cinder was first mentioned in the Marvel Comics Shattered Empire issue number 2, which I was going to bring with me today. Today, Charles and I are together. Rob, unfortunately, is many states away, but still with us virtually. I was going to bring the comic, then I didn't want to. No, I forgot. However, it's mentioned in issue 2 of the Marvel Comics in 2015.
Okay.
I misread. Yeah. And it was obviously mentioned in Alphabet Squadron.
Yes.
And of course, season 2, episode 1 of The Mandalorian, The Believer.
Which, oh boy.
Mentioned it.
Mentioned, yes.
But it wasn't, it was materialized on screen in the Battlefront 2 game in 2017. Which,
right.
Of course, Rob has mentioned.
Referring to, yeah. Yes. So it's one of those low-key story elements that that we've talked about, the three of us, and I'd say even as far back as our very, very first recording, way back in 2019, that we had mentioned off-air that Operation Cinder is one of those storylines that hasn't really been covered that much, but is really interesting and has huge implications across the galaxy, not just for what happened, but the storyline implications, and has been carried even further into, like you said, the Mandalorian series, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, it only took us 4 years to record an episode on.
Well, it took him that long. It took us that long to convince him to come back on.
I'm assuming that the wait was due to waiting to see if they were going to have any copyright infringements, because my understanding is Operation Cinder was a program created by Palpatine where he swiped right on planets he liked and left.
Oh my god.
So, you know, there's kind of that whole Tinder link in. And I was sure it was going to get...
Operation Tinder!
He definitely hard swiped left on a lot of planets as part of this operation.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So I guess we should get into what Operation Cinder was.
Yes.
I mean, you have notes.
I do have notes.
But so basically, Operation Cinder was Emperor Palpatine's contingency plan in the event of his death during the Galactic Civil War.
Yeah, and also just like a big FU to the entire galaxy.
What a jerk! I can't believe it.
Literally, the entire plan was to, if I die, I want you
I'm bringing you all you milkmookers down with me.
I'm going to launch this battery of satellites across all of these planets, with some very interesting planets he chose, to raise the planets through environmental destruction.
It's crazy, too, because Palpatine, for all of his cunning and master manipulation of events within the galaxy, ultimately just turned into the jealous creeper ex-boyfriend where he's like, if I can't have you, no one can.
It's very true. That's exactly it. Because, we'll get to this, but like the planets that he listed as one of their primary targets completely goes against what he would have done had he lived, because you've got some very strong Empire-friendly planets that
Listen, as soon as they let him die, they were done for.
They let him die.
Okay? It's like, listen, if you can't protect your emperor, that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset he had, which is, like, terrible. But, again, he was a terrible person. So
I
feel like that's pretty much within his character. Yeah, basically, he completely bombarded a bunch of loyal systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were loyal to the Empire, and he's like, well, you failed to protect your Emperor, so you're done. And it was crazy because there was, like you said, these satellites that triggered planetary bombardments of natural disasters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was like floods and stuff.
Earthquakes and lightning.
Destroyed these planets. And he's like, we do what must be done. And then that's it. They were done. Yeah,
from Atmo. You know, like, thankfully, none of these ships actually went in the atmosphere, so we didn't have to see them near the ground, because that would just be horrendous.
How dare you get so close?
I feel like that's a shot across the bow at me, but, I mean, Atmo ships in atmosphere, I mean, why would that ever trigger me?
But yeah, they launched all of these attacks on these different planets from upper atmosphere, not really engaging on the ground. It's completely just a, like I said, an FU to the entire galaxy. And as quickly and lay as much waste on all these planets as he could, mm-hmm. posthumously.
Right. Now, it was super cool because in the game, in Battlefront 2, they have the cutscenes through, you know, between the gameplay, where it's these Sentinel droids that comes through,
yes.
And they have like blank faces, and then like a hollow image of Palpatine's face comes on him, and he's like, execute Operation Cinder. So you gotta think that not everybody knows that he's dead at this point.
Right.
They're getting these, you know, presumably pre-recorded hollows of him saying to execute Order 94 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they're all Imperial loyalists.
Right.
So they're like loyal to the end. So no matter what he says, they're like, yeah, we got it. Aye, aye, Captain. So they took that almost with the knowledge of what to do ahead of time.
Mm.
So then when they got the green light, they were like, let's do this. And boom. And they sent out the satellites and everything else. But they were supreme loyalists, like Admiral Versio.
Yes. Yeah.
He was a major proponent of what Palpatine was doing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Operation Cinder.
Yeah. And all those ones who weren't killed during the Battle of Endor, those mm-hmm. were the ones that he was speaking to, like the remnants almost, you know, we heard about that term before.
That were likely dispersed throughout the galaxy.
Right. Doing other things as opposed to this battle on Endor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the point where not only did he go after loyal Imperial planets, but he even took this out on Naboo, his homeworld.
Yeah. What a jerk.
I mean, we talked about that in our Naboo episode, which is our most recent one. It's like, really? And this is what actually launched the whole thing.
It's just Naboo.
It's just Naboo.
Did you name it? It's just Naboo?
No, I didn't. But yeah, well, it's kind of, yeah.
Good enough.
But yeah. I mean, as a, you know, not just his home planet, I get it that there was like an uprising and sort of like against the, you know, the Galactic Empire, but it's his home planet and where everything started for him, yet he's still, you know, in the crosshairs for that. Like, just a jerk move for sure.
But yeah, he was totally a jerk.
Yes. Yeah. You know who else was a jerk?
Who?
Was his second in command, who he passed this entire, you know, the Operation Cinder upon, is Gallius Rax.
Yes.
And he was the one who was sort of the spearhead of this entire operation, coordinating all these different volleys of attacks on different planets.
Yeah. Basically, the whole idea was, we're going to punish these systems for their failure to preserve their emperor.
Yes.
And to protect him. And also prepare for the future of the empire, which included the resurrection of the emperor.
Yeah.
And the reformation of the Galactic Empire.
Yes. The contingency plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how that went askew a little bit on Jakku. But we'll get to that a bit
later. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, they made some sidesteps, of course. Yes. But for the most part, you know, his plan was relatively sound in terms of being able to put the pieces in play that he needed to.
Right. And there was, like, some core planets. Rob's already mentioned one of them, Naboo. There were some core planets and systems that he had identified that these are the ones you're going to start with. And there was dozens of other systems that fell under the Operation Cinder. But there were some key ones.
I would imagine every star system.
Yeah, as much as they could do.
What a jerk.
Yeah, because he could. But there were some key ones that they had started off with. And those are Burnin Khan. And we'll get to some of these in more detail a bit later on. But Burnin Khan, Candavant, Abednego, Kaminoor, Necronus, Vardos, and finally Naboo.
But Necronus sounds like it's already dead, so...
Exactly. They weren't doing very well to begin with. So it was a short operation.
I was thankful for it because I think they were necro. Well, I mean, what would you call a person from Necronus? A necrophile? Oh, Pat.
See, this is the problem when you invite Rob on.
Yes.
You get these comments.
No. But you know, to be serious, I mean, it is interesting to see that this was the Emperor's ultimate plan. When you consider the fact that everything we know of the Emperor and his relationship with Grand Admiral Thrawn, which is clearly an important relationship within Star Wars, it was Thrawn joining the Emperor to basically help ally his people with the galaxy, with the Galactic Empire, in order to prepare for attacks from outside of the galaxy, the far outsiders that were a known threat to the Chiss, and basically putting the galaxy at risk. So Palpatine getting killed and deciding he was going to basically set fire to the galaxy as we know it and weaken it kind of goes against the whole point of that relationship he had with Thrawn. So it's a little bit interesting. You could call it discordant if Rolo.
So it's interesting that Rob mentions that now, because I was going to mention it later, but you can see kind of the unknown regions rebuilding of the Empire through the Ahsoka series, where Thrawn has these stormtroopers and this sort of garrison of troops that he's training and getting ready for this invasion that really was part of Palpatine's plan in the first place. That now that Palpatine's gone-ish, asterisk.
Yeah.
That Thrawn is still kind of, you know, working this process through. It's interesting because you're starting to see that unfold in the Ahsoka series, which is what Rob said. But, you know, you also have these other key players. You know, like you have the Inferno Squadron from the game.
Yep.
From
yep.
Battlefront 2. Iden Versio, Gideon Hask, and Del Mico were the three, like, leaders of this Inferno Squadron. They're who you play as through the game and through the narrative of the game. You know, where Iden Versio is the sort of quasi-leader. Gideon Hask is the quote-unquote leader, but her father, Iden Versio's father, is the Garrick, admiral, she's got a little more pull than Hask does. And so basically, she finds out that her home planet was going to be targeted, and she's like, I don't know about all this. So she goes to her father, and he's like, yeah, Vardos is going down, but it's for the good of the Empire.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but no. Like, there's a bunch of innocent people there. Yeah. Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, for the good of the Empire. I just said that. And so then she and Del are like, nah, I don't know about all this nonsense. We gonna head out. So they head out to Rebels.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Gideon Hask is still the other member there that stays and proceeds. He's like the crosshair of the group.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Yeah, shut up.
Well, I'm just saying.
So he stays with Operation Cinder and the Empire to tighten its fist on the galaxy. And they go to the new Empire to meet with Leia. really.
Yeah.
To kind of divulge some information they had about the program and to help prevent some of it.
Yeah, Harrison Dula was there as well, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, which was really cool.
Obviously from Star Wars Rebels.
Right. Harrison Dula, captain, mm-hmm. yeah, general. Yeah, and what's really cool is because the Inferno Squad was created after the destruction of Death Star 1. That these rebels had exploited a flaw within the Death Star, and then so the Empire created the Inferno Squad and Garrick
Squad.
That too.
Yes.
So Garrick put his.
It was like special forces.
Yes.
And, you know, Imperial special forces.
Right. And put his daughter cool. as one of the members, and she eventually rose to the ranks and got there.
That's nepotism.
Well, you know, but it's the Empire, so what do you expect?
Looking at you, General Hux.
Oh, boy. Wait, which one? We'll get to that one. But yes, really, that's one of the turning points of the entire operation itself.
The turning point that this whole storyline entails, which is that there were a lot of people in the Empire who didn't look at it as an evil organization. You know, they thought that it brought stability and peace and structure to the galaxy. And there were a lot of people who joined primarily because they thought that was important. And this was the time where it showed itself to be a group that was willing to do some extreme things that there was really no military excuse for, that there was really no justification for, other than just to basically take out the Emperor's grudge on these planets that he felt were hotspots of failure and had led to his death ultimately.
Wow. What a jerk.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, between the Kessel Run and into the core worlds, the only Outer Rim planet that was part of the original Operation Cinder was Burnin Khan, which was the furthest from the center of Coruscant. So it's very interesting that, like, especially with when you consider how, Rob, you brought up Thrawn, is that he's from the unknown regions.
Right.
Okay, so first of all, no one cares about the Outer Rim or the unknown regions. So if you target core worlds, then like everybody pays attention.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that's that a, yeah, that's exactly? What I'm saying. Yeah, and I agree.
We're like, saying the same thing,
right? So why are we fighting about it?
Don't be hard on yourself that you didn't consider Thrawn as part of this whole thing, because I don't think the Star Wars Story Group does often as well. So.
I knew it. I saw that coming. Yeah. As soon as we asked him to join, I was
it's okay. They're
going to regret this.
We took shots at the Story Group in our Jedi Council episode.
We did. Yes. Obviously, Rob had mentioned Palpatine's home planet of Naboo as one of the targets, which is kind of a deep move. But at that same time, Leia and Shara Bay, who of course was Poe Dameron's mother.
Mother, yes.
So they were at Naboo to rally support from the Queen of Naboo for the New Republic. And so they were on world, and these hurricanes start coming, and they were like, what is going on here? Like, you know, Leia's family lineage is from the Naboo, and she's like, hurricanes, that's weird. And they see these satellites, and I'm like, that's the problem. So they figure it out. And so basically, at that point, Naboo had been pretty much stripped of its military, but they still had some N1 starfighters. So, of course, they hop in these fighters, and they go up to pew-pew these satellites. Yeah, they did all right, but then, like, there's TIE fighters and stuff, and they start to get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So at that point, they're like, ah, crap, we did our best. But then they get aided by one General Lando Calrissian and the Danger Squadron, which includes Iden Verzio and Delmico. And they come and they help to defeat the Imperial fighters and destroy the remaining satellites. And at this point, Iden Verzio informs Leia and the New Republic of the details of Operation Cinder. Oof. So now they've got a little bit of intel, so they know kind of what's going on, because they had no idea at first. All these planets are being destroyed by weird, like, environmental things. Mm-hmm. And
so what's interesting about the fact that you brought up the Battle of Theed within Operation Cinder, because of the Battle of Naboo, which we saw in the prequel trilogy, they had instituted a defense system around Theed that originally had prevented part of Operation Cinder, but because it was environmental, they couldn't. And that's where, you know, Iden Verzio and the very, you know, like the newly converted to the Rebel Alliance pilots had come in and helped.
So the plan was compromised when Grand Admiral Sloan killed Emperor Palpatine's protege, Admiral Gallius Rax, in 5 ABY during the Battle of Jakku, which you had mentioned earlier,
yes,
but we said we'd get back to.
Right. Well, this is a pivotal moment. So let's take a quick commercial break right here. And when we come back, we are going to discuss how the battle actually ended and the formation of the First Order. And so with that, we'll be right back.
All right, my young Padawan, slice that training remote in half, and you can have whatever dinner you want for you and all of your friends.
Yay! I want Kasikian fried pork!
That's right. Padawans love the crunch and masters love the nutrients in every bite of KFP.
Welcome to KFP. What can I get for you?
The party feast with all the fixings, please.
You got it. Order 66 is up.
Who's ready to head over to the temple?
I am. The other kids are dying to eat.
Like the Colonel always says.
This is Colonel Cody. It's finger-licking good, sir.
At Kashikian Fried Pork, we do it right.
Mm-mm. Get yourself a bucket of Kashikian Fried Pork. It's finger-licking good.
Bow, bow. And we're back!
And we are back. Before the break, we talked about the planets and how Operation Cinder came about. And there are some really interesting details about how, not just the way that Palpatine had decided to choose these planets to exact revenge on, but also the Imperials who lived through the Battle of Endor. He had hand-chosen some of them to do specific attacks on different planets.
So they were the chosen ones.
The chosen ones, yes, indeed.
They were the Well, you know, obviously, Gallius Rax was the second-in-command for this whole project.
Right.
Okay. So that was the whole mess when Grand Admiral Sloan was driven out of power.
Yeah.
By him.
Yes. Yeah.
So she got all pissed off. She ended up taking revenge on him by killing him. And as he was dying, he was such a loyalist that he was like, listen, you need to regroup and strengthen the Empire to keep this thing moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
She did take his place and kind of move forward with everything.
Right, and that was a heavy part of it because Gallius Rax, who was born on Jakku, quite conveniently, that was also the place he died. Very similar to Luke.
Oh, that's not funny.
Yeah. So
I was born here, you know. You're going to die here. Too. You know. Convenient.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
But the remnants of this empire were up for grabs.
Yeah, now I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Jakku was where the new Empire forces were being assembled by Gallius Rax.
Yes.
So, you know, he was gathering Sith artifacts and really just trying to corrupt the planet with the dark side in order to strengthen their cause, which, of course, their leader was Darkseid, you know, Palpatine. So that's kind of their base of operations at this point was to, you know, bring it to this remote planet of Jakku, which, you know, why does everyone want to go back to Jakku? But, you know, he brings it there where it's kind of like the outer rim, kind of away from anybody's kind of oversight. So at this point, they're able to do what they need to do to kind of bring things back online and continue this empire. You know, these fragments can all be kind of brought together under this umbrella with what is to be known as the First Order.
Right. And the contingency plan itself.
Yes.
But it's also interesting, too, that as the culmination of this battle on Jakku did happen, we have edicts from Palpatine to the various leaders that were still alive after the Battle of Endor. They had specific targets, right? Specific names that were in charge of attacking, literally, some of these planets. And, for example, on Burnin Khan, we had Valen Hess, who was in charge of that operation. And Valen Hess was heavily featured in Mandalorian Season 2.
I was actually thinking back to the original kind of interactions between Palpatine and Gallius Rax when he first snuck on Palpatine's ship as a young slave.
Right.
Palpatine kind of took him under his wing. And one of the things that the two of them did together was play a board game called Chatez, which is essentially a variant of Jarek and chess, to name a few. You know, same kind of concept. You've got, I think they call it the Imperator in Chatez, and then a number of surrounding game pieces, I guess you'd call them, that, you know, all have rules for how they can move. But it was a strategy game, and kind of how Palpatine honed his strategic mind, and kind of basically what he used to train Gallius Rax to teach him to think the same way Palpatine did strategically. And, you know, ultimately, Palpatine being killed is kind of a parallel to this, right? So Operation Cinder is Palpatine's tantrum after losing a game of chess. You know, it's not enough to knock the game board off the table. He has to burn it.
Here's all the pieces.
Which, you know, makes me hesitant for our next Nerd Again night, because I feel like we're going to play that game and Rob's going to go all Wookiee on us and which makes me hesitant to start playing. Because as our resident protocol droid, Tom, from the Hyperion Adventures podcast would say,
let the Wookiee win.
So, I don't know. I'm not super excited about it.
It's all right. I'll play my my new hit. I'll Shree Wookiee all night long.
Well, and of course, Tom from the Hyperion Adventures podcast would say, let the Wookiee win. Let it win. In fantastic Frozen fashion, of
yes.
course. Pull your arms right off.
Oh, boy. Well, this has gone off the rails super quickly, and
yes,
we expected it to.
Of course, that's part of the plan. And so Valen Hess, who was in charge of the attack on Burnin Khan, and as we saw in season 2 of The Mandalorian,
yes,
one of the survivors of that attack on Burnin Khan was Miggs Mayfield. He was an Imperial, he's funny, and he's also quite lethal, because he was an Imperial sniper on that planet. And even though they had a position on this planet, Hess still had to follow the order of Operation Cinder and
destroy
not just the civilians, but also Imperial deployment that was on the planet.
And Hess was the guy in that episode.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was talking about, Operation Cinder, ha ha ha, those guys sucked. And Miggs was like, screw you.
And blew him away.
Pow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a really deep layer of how, not just because that he survived it, but he also has that trauma part of it. It's like, I was serving at the time, and yet you still decided to destroy the planet.
Yeah. Well, Operation Cinder obviously was terrible.
Right.
And retributionary, I would say.
And regardless of the fact that most of these planets that had Imperial deployments...
No, you can be Imperial loyalist, and he's like, that one.
Right.
You know, it's just terrible.
Right. And you could have troopers on the planet itself, you know, deployed and occupied. It didn't matter. He still went through with it.
Come on.
What a jerk.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yes, we get to the Battle of Jakku, and...
Of course, you know, in obviously episode 7, we see the remnants of that battle with down Star Destroyers and X-Wings and all sorts of battle remnants. And they don't really, through the film, they're like, oh, the Battle of Jakku, and there's all this stuff. But then through all the supplementary material between the games and the comics and the books and everything else, you find out about the details of the Battle of Jakku.
Yes, and if you don't know necessarily the background to it, it just sort of fades into the background, and she's, you know, we see Rey, who's just speedering by down Star Destroyers, and it's like, oh, okay, something happened here.
But... obviously something.
Right.
So, with the Aftermath trilogy, there's many mentions of Operation Cinder, the effects of it, and sort of the galaxy kind of picking up the pieces from it.
Right, and it really does lead into the Empire still has to move forward. And the contingency plan, while he was trying to trigger it, not according to Palpatine's plan, like you'd said, where he's using these Sith artifacts on Jakku to not just annihilate the Rebel Alliance, but also
everybody.
Yeah, well, he tried to wipe out everybody.
So, I mean, that's the problem, is you use these artifacts that are like Force sensitive, and it just wipes out everything.
Mm-hmm.
So wipe out the Resistance forces, you wipe out the Imperial forces. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going down. It's non-discriminatory.
Yeah, he didn't care at that point.
No, no.
But she had stopped it before he had enacted the whole thing.
Right.
And realized that his plan was flawed.
Right.
And realized that the contingency plan for Palpatine to emerge in the unknown regions was the larger goal.
Right.
And that's why he said, like, you need to carry this on. You need to make this happen. And she became the spearhead for what eventually became the First Order.
Yes.
It's always hard to dig out the last remnants of any destroyed military.
It is. And not only that, where's the, you know, you're trying to then unite these divided remnants of the Imperials. This was the challenge that Rey Sloane had, was that you need to try and unite them as much as you could. And she, along with Brendel Hux.
Oh, yeah, Brendel Hux.
Yeah, the father of...
General Hux.
Yeah, General Hux, that we saw in the sequel trilogy.
Yes.
Yeah, right, that one.
Forget his name.
What is his name?
I don't know. The guy from Harry Potter.
Rob, save us.
Obviously, it's Armitage Hux.
Obviously.
But yes, so General Hux's father, Brendel Hux, was part of what we saw in Andor, played by another member of the Gleason family.
Brendan's
brother, I think?
That's right. The hologram. Father. That's fantastic.
Very cool. I mean, it's a nice callback. Yeah, so you've got these key players that are responsible for the perpetuation of the Empire, or in this case, the creation of the First Order, which, of course, leads into the sequel trilogy and the major threat that we see throughout that series.
Mm.
It's just mind-blowing to me that Palpatine's reaction to his own death would be to create a scenario that really drove people that would have stayed loyal to the Empire really to question everything that it stood for, and in many cases drove them to the rebellion and the new Republic, ultimately. So if his plan was to come back and take the reins of the galaxy again, he kind of made his job harder by going through the
point. Feel like it wasn't so much about that as much as it was just a vendetta against star systems because they didn't like prevent his death in the first
place. Which
is
arrogant.
Kind of fucked up.
It is very... up.
Right. Because, like, come on, man. Like, these people are loyalists to you, but, like, you still died, so it's their fault.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's what happened to me 2 weeks ago at work, which is messed up. It's a whole mess. It's a whole mess and a half. So, I feel like that's something he would do because he's that grade A asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see that as completely in character for Palpatine to just take utter revenge on everyone. Because he didn't survive. Because what a jerk.
I agree with Rob, is that the fact that you have Palpatine who died.
That's speculation.
Well, you know, somehow he returned. that despite the fact that he had the contingency plan to bring himself back to life,
right.
He still chose to have this last FU to the entire galaxy and still expect everybody to be subservient to him.
Right.
And that's the ultimate arrogance for him.
Yeah, because he's a jerk.
Well, that's like, that fits his character, but it's an amazing situation where it wasn't against his enemies. I think that, you know, it's perfectly within character of Palpatine to expect...
Take revenge on everyone.
And expect...
Dick.
Yeah, and expect ultimate loyalty despite that. And that's what the weirdest part of it is.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
By the same token, it's so bipolar of him because... He was known as this master strategist.
Yeah.
Always was playing the long game. He always had a plan for how he was going to work things to his advantage. And in this particular case, it really is kind of like a rage quit video game scenario where it's just, I'm so upset that I'm just going to torch everything. And had he left things alone, then you would have had exactly what you had in the EU, which now what they call Star Wars Legends, which is there would have been fragmented chunks of the Empire with warlords running them and all kind of competing against each other for resources and power, etc. You would have had the New Republic, which was made up of star systems that he considered to be weaker anyway. And it would have been a much easier scenario for him to take advantage of when he came back from rebuilding the Empire into the First Order. So it's kind of cutting off his nose to spite his face.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's got that sort of personality that he's willing to kind of lose some of that to get his revenge.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because he wants both sides. I think that raises a perfect question. What if, listen to this, what if the Operation Cinder or the post-Emperor storyline was in the hands of Thrawn versus Gallius Rax? How that would have been different?
Oh, Thrawn would have never done it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's an interesting question because, you know, Thrawn at this point in storyline was there. Yeah. It's just that he had handed the post-death...
His contingency.
The contingency was given to Gallius Rax versus Thrawn. Imagine the difference. That's an interesting question we may have.
I feel like Thrawn would have managed it much better. Oh, my,
for sure. 100% sure.
Than Gallius Rax. Like, who? Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's Operation Cinder.
We hereby dub Palpatine Darth Dan.
Oh!
Nice!
So that being said, we do thank Rob. You can find Rob on Planet Pivot.
Planet Pivot. We do have an episode coming up soon. We got a little sidetracked with the holidays, but we do have our review of our fall cruise and stay at the Fontainebleau.
Ooh.
That was quite an experience.
And furthermore, the following episode will likely include us.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's worthwhile.
We do have a Nerdageddon event coming up in early spring 2024. So the brothers shall be reunited and much tomfoolery shall ensue.
Lukefoolery and hand drinks. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So we are on our very own website,
mm-hmm.
Which is conversations.com.
It's the best place to find us. Yeah.
That is the best place to find us. We are also on facebook.com/conversations. We are on Twitter or X or Y.
It's X.
Why?
No, Model Y is a different thing.
No, Tesla, but why is it X?
Oh, because he loves the letter X. To Elon. Yeah, so it's X. Yeah.
Okay, so we're on Elon at Swations, Instagram at Conversations. We are on Threads, which is like X adjacent.
Right. Yeah.
At Conversations. Etsy at Conversations. We have a link.tree/conversations if you haven't been paying attention or writing this down or reading the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we are a proud founding member of the Red Five Podcast Network, mm-hmm. at bio.link/red5 with this fine gentleman, exactly. And also Rob of the Jedi Temple Archive. I'm not active on social media.
At all.
At all whatsoever. Like, I have zero footprint. However, I do appreciate the screenshots. So for that, I appreciate Rob.
Oh.
Pat's Ladder. At Pat's Ladder.
Oh, that's right.
I do have
social media. It's a proxy.
I forgot. I'm not in charge of it, and I haven't seen it. However, it does exist.
You have many followers.
Oh, boy.
So with that being said,
I guess we're closing it out, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's my turn.
I hope so.
I
didn't prepare anything.
Okay.
I've done like the past three or four
what
episodes.
What else is new? All right. Well, in that case, if an empire cannot protect its emperor, then that empire must be deemed a failure. It collapses not only because its central figure is gone, but because it must not be allowed to remain.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content, make sure you head over to Red5Network.com. You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more. All wings report in. It's the Red 5 Network.